Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aimi Organics Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Krishan Parwani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Aimi Organics Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. Today, we have with us Aimi Organics Management, represented by Mr. Naresh Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Abhishek Patel, Vice President Strategy, and Mr. Bhavin Shah, Chief Financial Officer. I would now like to invite Mr. Bhavin Shah to initiate the proceedings. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Krishan. Good evening, everyone. We are pleased to welcome you all to our earnings conference call to discuss Q1 FY25 financials. Please note that a copy of our disclosure is available on the investor section of our website as well as on the stock exchanges. Please do note that anything said on this call, which reflects our outlook towards the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. The conference call is being recorded, and the transcript along with the audio of the same will be made available on the website of the company and exchanges. Please also note that the audio of the conference call is the copyright material of Aimi Organics and cannot be copied, rebroadcast, or attributed in press or media without specific and written consent of the company. Today on call, along with me, we have Mr. Naresh Patel, Chairman Managing Director, and Mr. Abhishek Patel, Vice President Strategy. Now, I would like to hand over the floor to our CMD, Mr. Naresh Patel, for his opening statement. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bhavin. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are doing well. A warm welcome to our Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. Let me start with an overview of the global chemical industry environment. Geopolitical instability worldwide has led to extended delivery times and higher freight rates over the past quarter. Although input prices have stabilized, they remain low, continuing to exert pressure on the pricing of finished goods. The competitive threat from China's manufacturing capability remains significant, and I expect certain segments of the chemical sector to stay under pressure. However, specialty players, those relying on technology-driven processes and niche products, are less impacted by China's current market challenges. Regarding the industries we serve, in the pharmaceutical sector, the advanced pharmaceutical intermediate industry is facing challenges due to oversupply from China. However, while there is some impact on pricing due to lower raw material prices, we are not seeing much impact on our products given most of our products have application in chronic medications where technology and process are more critical than scale. Therefore, our core products continue to grow strongly. The CDMO space is experiencing strong growth globally, with high inquiry levels for new projects. We are in discussions with many customers with few contracts nearly finalizations. In commodity chemicals, while pricing has stabilized, it remains low. We have managed to withstand this pressure through operational improvements and better asset utilization. In the semiconductor sector, despite the current demand headwinds, discussions with customers suggest that this is a short-term issue and demand is expected to normalize by the end of the year. We are working on integrating operations and expanding our product and customer base in other geographies as well. The battery chemical sector is evolving rapidly, and we are also building capacity at fast pace to cater the worldwide demand of electrolyte additives and are collaborating with a global player to establish electrolyte solution capacities in India. The IRA policy in the U.S. and the growing EV battery ecosystem in India present significant opportunities for us. For the quarter, I am pleased to report that we continue to navigate the challenging industry landscape successfully to achieve strong 15% growth in revenue from operations. This growth was primarily driven by our advanced pharmaceutical business, while the specialty chemical segment saw modest growth due to the subdued performance of Baba Fine Chemicals. Additionally, we successfully concluded the good manufacturing practice inspection by the Pharmaceutical and Medical Device Agency, PMDA, in Japan, with no critical or major observation. To our knowledge, we may be the only chemical company in India to have successfully completed both U.S. FDA and PMDA inspection in the advanced pharmaceutical intermediate space. This achievement should open additional opportunity for us in Japan and other regions. Historically, even as we always see year-on-year growth in Q1, it is important to understand that our Q1 is always lowest quarter in terms of revenue each financial year since inception, and we typically see sequential growth from Q1 to Q4. I anticipate similar strong sequential growth in the coming quarters. Looking at our current order book, I am confident that we will comfortably meet our 25% growth guidance for the year. Now, I will hand over the floor to our Vice President of Strategy, Mr. Abhishek Patel, for further business updates. Over to you, Abhishek.
Thank you, Naresh Bhai. Good evening, everyone. Continuing with our business performance, our advanced pharmaceutical intermediate business reported revenue of 135 crore for the quarter, reflecting strong, robust 16.6% YOY growth. This increase was driven by strong performance in both CDMO as well as the core product business. The specialty chemical business also grew by 10%, reaching 42%. This growth was largely due to strong performance in the commodity chemical segment, though it was partially offset by the subdued performance of Baba Chemical business. Elaborating more on Baba Fine Chem business, for the past two to three quarters, BFC has been operating around 5 crore revenue per quarter, affected by business integration and demand issue from our client side. We expect a recovery to begin in second half of the year. Post-acquisition, our team has been actively marketing new products which were already present in BFC product basket but were not marketed earlier. Marketing efforts driven through participating in semiconductor conferences, engaging with customers in Korea, Japan, and Taiwan. This has led to a new customer collaboration with customer in Korea and Japan at the lab scale. Although this initiative will take some time, we are optimistic about the opportunities in this segment. Now, in battery chemical segment, we have established Enchem AMI Organics Private Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary of AMI Organics Electrolyte Private Limited, which is in turn a wholly owned subsidiary of AMI Organics Limited. This step-down subsidiary will focus on electrolyte for lithium-ion batteries and related material in India. Regarding CapEx update, for Ankleshwar project, we are on track to complete the remaining two blocks by end of quarter Q2 FY25. In line with our commitment to combat global warming under the United Nations Global Compact Pledge, we have initiated a 16-megawatt solar CapEx captive power plant project. This project will meet most of our energy needs, leading to reduced carbon emission and lower energy cost. We anticipate to complete this CapEx by end of Q2 FY25, and energy saving expected to start from Q3 FY25, which will further contribute to our EBITDA improvement. As Naresh ji mentioned, we have also started CapEx for electrolyte additives, which is on track completion by end of this financial year. With that, I will hand over the floor to our CFO, Mr. Bhavin Shah, to provide financial update. Over to you, Bhavin Bhai.
Thank you, Abhishek Bhai. I would like to briefly highlight the key performance metrics for the quarter before we open the floor for questions. Revenue from operation for the quarter reached 176.7 crore, representing 16.6% increase on year-on-year basis. As Naresh Bhai noted, this growth was primarily driven by strong performance in advanced pharma intermediate segment. Gross profit for the year was rupees 74.3 crore, reflecting 1% increase compared to the same period last year. The gross margin was 42.1%, up from 40% in Q4 FY24, but down from 47.9% in Q1 FY24. As you all know, to support our clients who were facing pricing pressure, we had resorted to supplying products at a spot pricing to our long-term customer to protect the volume at the cost of margin decline in fluctuating market conditions. This had impacted our gross margin from Q2 onwards. As expected, RM prices have stabilized and we are slowly moving back to old pricing formula with most of the long-term customers, and therefore there was a good expansion of around 210 basis points in gross margin in Q1 FY25. EBITDA for the quarter was ₹29.5 crore at 13.2% decrease year-on-year with EBITDA margin at 16.7%, down from 22.1% in the same period last year. Several factors impacted the EBITDA margin. First one is the gross margin. This remains primary driver for EBITDA. While it improved sequentially, it was lower year-on-year basis. Second is increase in employee costs. Higher expenses this quarter resulted from annual increments and new hires for the Ankleshwar plant. Other reason is the seasonal trend. As Naresh bhai mentioned, Q1 is typically our lowest quarter in terms of revenue. Therefore, Q1 usually has the lowest top line and EBITDA each financial year. PAT for the quarter was ₹19.7 crore compared to 30.9 crore in Q1 FY24, leading to a PAT margin of 8.3%. The decline in PAT margin was due to lower EBITDA margin, higher depreciation cost due to capitalization of one of the block at Ankleshwar unit, and increased finance cost. We anticipate higher depreciation cost in coming quarter as we will capitalize the remaining blocks of the Ankleshwar unit in the coming quarter. However, with the significant debt repayment, finance costs are expected to decline sharply. Overall, we remain on track to achieve our 25% growth target for the year while maintaining healthy EBITDA margin. With that, I request moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Vivek Gupta, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So a couple of the points I want to discuss, sir. So first is, how much did we invoice for electrolytes in this quarter?
So electrolyte business is still in the working out stage. We are working on both the front to in form of corporate governing structure as well as the CapEx. So electrolyte segment sales is yet to start for us.
Last conference, did we mention that we would invoice some part of it in Q1, right?
So contrary, there are some small invoices for sampling and qualification, but the large invoices will be start from H2 as we mentioned. LEDs. We are talking about LEDs.
Yes,
there are two different set of business. You asked about the electrolyte, so that is electrolyte business is yet to start. If you ask about the electrolyte additive business, so that is we have some long-term contract already signed, and we expect that revenue to start from H2 FY25. Right now, it's only small quantity related to sampling and all those things.
Okay. The other point is I see the other expenses being greater than PAT. So what exactly we have as a part of other expenses?
So all other expenses
apart from... Sorry, go ahead.
So other expenses include the expense related to manufacturing, as well as the marketing, as well as the administrative expenses.
Okay, so we expect the similar trend down the line as well, because it's huge.
So in this case, see, our other expenses should be ranging between 15% to 17% of total sales, and as we grow quarter on quarter, we'll have with a better top line, we'll have a better leverage, and we'll have savings in this area. So other expenses should be remain between the range of 15% to 16% kind of thing.
Okay, and I see that we are operating at the lowest PAT margin since FY20. So is there a reason that we have not been able to improve the PAT margins?
With regard to PAT margin, see, we have improved our gross margin on sequential basis. However, in current quarter, we have higher depreciation expense, higher finance cost due to our Ankleshwar unit, which has capitalized last year and which has yet to give a full potential of revenue. So higher depreciation, higher finance cost, and we have also rolled out increment in Q1 this year. So these three factors cumulatively giving a lower PAT margin for the quarter. As we move gradually on quarter basis, this will improve.
And what is the EBITDA margin guidance you would give for quarter two?
So we do not generally provide the guidance, but you can expect that in last quarter also we had a very good revenue of 224 crore. And as we progress, we are committed to deliver growth of more than 25% in revenue. And you can expect that, see, first, as Naresh Bhai already mentioned, the Q1 is always a low revenue quarter, and sequentially it goes higher. So you can expect kind of similar kind of numbers going forward. So at least when those revenue top line number gets going, you can expect around more than 200 basis point improvement at the operational level also. We are also committed to deliver higher margin in terms of material margin, gross margin level also, but 200 basis point around improvement in EBITDA margin because of operational efficiency can also seen at a higher revenue level. So that's the kind of EBITDA guidance you can work out at your end.
Okay, one last one. So for the QAP proceeds, we have like retired all the debt for the company, right?
Yes.
And what is the net cash in hand currently on books?
So as on June, net cash on hand is around 385 crore.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rikin Shah from The Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on a good quarter. So I wanted to understand what the timeline for Enchem Mummy Organics would be. How would this pan out, and you know what the deeper plans for this would be?
Enchem Mummy Organic is a subsidiary for making toll manufacturing for electrolyte in India, exclusively for the parent company in Korea. And right now we are in discussion of finalizations of the JV terms and conditions. So we cannot throw the exact timeline because it's complications between two companies, two countries, and also regulatory requirement and all, but it will be as soon as possible, it will be due.
All right, thank you, Naresh Bhai. And my second question would be an understanding, you know, how block 2 and 3 of the Ankleshwar unit after construction, do we have some sort of order book finalized, or, you know, how would we be utilizing that going forward? We are in an active discussion, I think not active discussion, but almost a finalization of signing one more contract as a CDMO with one of big originator based in Europe. All samples, everything is done now. Validation batches will be planned in next quarter. So maybe end of this quarter or maybe next beginning of next quarter, we will have these signings. So it is, we plan very properly and everything is going as per our planning in Unit 2.
Got it. Thank you so much. That's it from my end.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Krishan Parvani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions from my side. So, firstly, on the Fermion contract, when will we start to see the strong ramp-up from that?
It's already Unit 2 is already sent the validation batches for the qualification at customer end. And by this Q2, starting from Q2, Q3, Q4, it will gradually increasing and it will fully ramp up in FY26 up to the maximum level. But this year we are targeting to have all the validation finished in the all 84 countries what they are supplying. So this is slowly ramping up, but this, it's a very positive and it's going on as per design and planning by the customer.
Understood. So basically, with this kind of a ramp up of, gradual ramp up, your gross margin trajectory should also improve going forward. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Got it, sir. And on the tax rate, was there any one-off factor in this quarter? Because I think the tax rate is slightly higher. Was there any one-off?
No. Cumulative tax rate for Baba is different than this thing. So when we combine it, it will look on a higher side.
Understood. So for FY25, should we build a 25% tax rate or slightly higher?
We should be on a slightly higher side.
Understood. Thirdly, on the electrolyte additive project, given you have also done some arrangement with NPM recently. So just wanted to check, I know both the projects are different, but for the electrolyte additive project per se, do you have firm orders in hand?
Electrolyte CMO, we don't have firm because it's yet not formed the final JV. But for electrolyte additives, yes, we have a long-term contract already signed and based on this planning only, we are now expanding our capacity for VCFEC up to 2000 metric ton. Not apart from that, we had already developed another 8 new additives which are also used in the manufacturing of the solution of electrolyte and these all are also now started qualification stage at different customer level as well as with the Anchem as well. So once these also will be matured, we will start producing that apart from VCFEC, other additives also in NAMI Organics electrolyte.
Understood. So basically, these are some of the firm contracts that you have in hand, which is what is driving you to guide for a 25% growth in FY25. Is that correct?
Yes.
Noted. And lastly, if I may, I think you were facing some challenges in Apixaban, but I think recently there was a court also confirmed the invalidity of Bristol Myers Squibb. So are we seeing some uptick there? Or will
yes.
it take some time?
No. Yes, it's already started uptaking slowly. And that is what, in any way, next year is a year of launching, right? So exclusivity is expiry. So we are already started getting the trial orders started in different customers slowly.
Noted, sir. Thank you for patiently answering my question. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sudhanshu from Marshless Investments Manager. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Nitesh bhai. Thank you for taking the question. Sir, first of all, if you can help me understand the volume and value breakup of this 15% YOY growth and the QOQ decline as well. What was the number in terms of the volume movement?
So we have got this 15% hike completely on a volume side. That is 18% growth on volume side.
Okay, so 18% volume growth and then 3% pricing degrowth. Is that how we arrive at?
Yes.
Okay. And this dip, the QOQ number, if you can quantify the same for that as well, 21% dip on QOQ basis.
Can you loudly speak or repeat your question? Sure. Because we are not able to understand.
Is it better?
Yes.
Or you can speak a little slowly.
Yeah, sure, sir. So this 20%, 21% degrowth on a quarter-on-quarter basis, if you can split that as well in volume and value terms, was there any quarter-on-quarter depreciation as well in terms of our realization?
So let me tell you this way. As we already mentioned that the generally Q1 has always been a lowest quarter for us. So in largely in both the segment, it was kind of similar kind of degrowth, but it was not kind of things which came to us and surprised us. We have already prepared ourselves for such kind of revenue, and because the kind of visibility we got from the customer, we are again committed to achieve more than 25% growth for full year. So for both the segments, we are expecting a kind of similar growth and more than 25% growth, and we'll achieve more than 25 growth at the end of the year. On the volume and the value side, as Bhavin bhai mentioned, 18% is the volume growth for overall level against 15% of value growth. But segment-wise, the split, we are not...
No, segment-wise, I'm not asking. I'm asking quarter-on-quarter, sir.
It will be incremental similarly for quarter-on-quarter as well. And based on that only, we are expecting, historically also, we are expecting same kind of history in last year's receptions. And we are committed to have 25% growth this year, because we have, this is all what according to the plan, and we know accordingly it is moving right now.
Understood, Naresh bhai, thank you. And in terms of the challenges that we mentioned, in terms of the integration related issues for Baba Fine Chem, if you can help us understand that piece a little better, like what exactly is going, why the sales are down from the levels at which we bought the partnership stake?
See, basically, this is a very highly entry barrier business, semiconductor, and it's very difficult to enter in that system when you are doing with chemicals, which is high pure chemical. And when we done these acquisitions of ownership change from Baba Fine Chem Partners to the Ami Organics, we need to comply several requirement with the buyer Heraeus. So yes, that was took, well, last year was whole was that during that period, Heraeus is as a headwind in their business. They will survive with the stock what they have, but now they have a headwind also during these last two quarters. They are facing some challenges of their final product. And that's why it is a little bit sluggish at their end, and that is a cascading effect to us and Baba Fine Chem. But contrary, we also not sitting on, because we were highly dependent on Heraeus on one customer. We had already started promoting other molecule which we had not committed to Heraeus, to the other segment in Korea and Japan, and we already start supplying few kgs of 1 kg to 10 kg level to these customers, and it's also moving very good. So next one and a half year it will be improvement for us, not only from Heraeus side as well as from other new customers as well. So we are working strongly on promoting Baba Fine Chem in a next one and a half year.
And sir, if I may just ask a follow-up question on that, the new molecules that we are pitching to Japanese and Korean companies, would it be in the same realization band and profit margin band, or would there be a significant difference in terms of what we get from Heraeus versus these Japanese and Korean clients?
It will be not that great of a, say 65%, but it will be 40 to be trained between 40 to 60 percent, and because the application is not in the same line, it all depends on the application as well. But it will be much better than what our current business is doing.
Understood. And one question, Bhavinbhai mentioned long travel times for the cargo and freight cost increase. So has that had any effect on our sales as well? Have we lost any sales because of this two aspects, unavailability of containers and long lead times?
It is not that great impact on our sales because we were planning, we have an order in hand for longer period. So we plan very strategically about the shipment as well, and accordingly we booked our containers and all. But yes, it has impacted on a cost of the shipment. It is little bit incremental. That is also one of the temporary impact on our margin, but that is not that great. So that's why we are not narrated impact of that. But for the time being, we don't see any supply or any sales restriction because of this longer shipment time as well as longer waiting time for the container, because we are booking very early about our shipment.
Understood. If I may ask two small questions, one to Naresh Bhai and one to I think Bhavin Bhai. Sir, in terms of the Apixaban and Divraxaban sales, you mentioned something to the last participant as well. But are we saying that gradual shipments have started, but the pickup would happen primarily in Q4 this year, and then FY26 would be the major pickup for these two molecules? Is that understanding correct?
Apixaban, your understanding is correct. Rivaroxaban is still, we have to wait because it has still time.
Okay.
But we are moderately selling in Rivaroxaban as well, but not at the peak right now.
All right, sir. And Bhavin Bhai, we mentioned that this solar plant would basically help us mitigate a lot of our energy costs. So if you can quantify what percentage of our energy cost at the current level of operations would come down once this solar plant gets completed in Q2?
So see, primarily we'll not quantify the number, but the 16 megawatt will suffice our existing electricity cost. So we'll see improvement in that thing.
All right. Okay.
The detailed reason of that is that because unit 2 is still just commence, so that's why it is difficult to quantify.
Understood, sir. These are all the questions from my mind. Thank you very much for answering that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan from JM Financial PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So my question is to slightly, you know, understand, you know, how our strength is going to help us during this, you know, situation where, you know, a lot of our competitors are facing issues in terms of availability of, you know, the freight containers. While I think a few quarters ago you did mention that, you know, we have largely reduced the impact import dependence and started focusing on a little bit more locally. So one is, you know, with the current scenario, does your clients now starting, you know, are starting to come and, you know, ask a little bit more in terms of more product, I mean, from your side? And second is from, you know, the, you know, overall relationship perspective, I'm talking about the Japanese FDA that has come and audited the facility. I mean, it is very nice to see that we have, you know, we've been able to ramp up, you know, our relationship with some of the other regions. But with this in place, how do we see us taking our relationship to, you know, into Japan? You know, now that we have capabilities into Grignard chemistry, you know, building it into, you know, continuous flow chemistry, etc.
So, let's first answer your first question related to the logistics and dependency on the raw material as well as availability of the containers and all. Definitely, if you are not dependent more on imports, that will leverage you to be your buyer, will be more free for you as a local available raw material. Make you more sustainable in terms of supply chain to them. So that is definitely help us, and that is also one of the reasons that we are getting good project every quarter and every year. This quarter also we have received more than 10 new projects in terms of new supply. In terms of supply to the customer is the second challenge where everybody has, every exporter has the same challenge which we have as well. So in that area, it is a better planning and that helps you to have early orders from the customer and forecast, non-rolling forecast help you to understand that when you require the containers for shipments and all, and that help you. It will help you to plan, but it will not help you to the cost, because cost is not in our hand, but definitely it will help us to on-time delivery to the customer. So that is, I hope this will give you an answer about, give you satisfactory answer for your question. Related to the new era opening, in Japan, we were already present in Japan in last 15 years. We are doing sizable business in Japan. But with this PMD inspection for chemical open door for us for advanced intermediate and N-1 kind of products in for the API manufacturing in Japan. So that helps us definitely in promoting our pipeline, which is we are normally so promoting in Europe, US, and in India, but that is now open for us as well. So that will definitely help us to grow our business in Japan.
Sure, sir. And sir, if you are looking at the number of projects that, you know, we are working with, I mean, gaining new clients as well as deepening our relationship with clients, I mean, given that we have spent a fair amount of efforts, you know, and also building capabilities through M&A and directly, can you, you know, qualitatively give some color with respect to, you know, more, you know, products or the, you know, relationships in pipeline, you know, something like how, you know, Fermion worked for us. So, you know, qualitatively say 2-3 years ago, how many relationships did we have, and probably now, you know, what is the kind of relationship that we are having?
As I always say that we incepted based on the originator business only, and we have a very long relationship with big originators. Fermion is one name, but there are so many other names which whom we are working in Europe. Some concern we received, so I can say name of Boehringer Ingelheim, one of them, with whom we are working since 20 years. Similarly, we have a lot of other originators with whom we are working. And we are time-tested supplier for them, and time to time they give us a new molecule which we develop for them, and then we wait for when it is launching. So many molecules we have in N-1, in phase one, maybe in phase two. So that will be longer few year it will go for launching. And one of the product which you know in Fermion is darolutamide, but apart from darolutamide, we have other 8 products with the Fermion which are already either commercialized or in pipeline. So it's a this is the reason we have more than 570 molecules which is already invoiced.
Sure. So one final question before I join back to queue is, you know, at some point of time we were, you know, doing EBITDA margins of excess of 20%. Various combination of several factors that impacted, you know, the margins, which is, you know, probably led to the margins coming down. I mean, leaving just this quarter aside, I mean, negative operating leverage, etc. One is if I'm, you know, mapping the strength of the business in terms of the R&D capabilities and the clientele, it does not necessarily reflect the, you know, the margins does not reflect the strength of the business. So one is, you know, in the near term, when do we see, want to go back to the 20%? And second is if you look at the kind of other competitors, I mean, whether it is in India or even globally, the similar kind of work which the, you know, companies are doing, their margins are significantly higher, not over the 25%. Second is, as the utilization goes up, when do you see this, you know, 25% plus margins kicking in?
It's a really good question, but the issue is that we are not a peer-to-peer comparing with others, because we have basket having not only the originator business or not only the CDMO business, but we have also generic business, as well as we have commodity business like specialty chemical as well, where margin is low and volume is very high. So it's because of that there is a bundle of that when you do the attributed average, it is impacting a lot. But you are rightly says that it should not be that low as what we know. But there, as we say, is that we will go, our main target is to go to the our historical margin level of 23% in pharma. So we are working on that, and this financial year is definitely is a historical for that to reach there. This is our aim. And in future also, going forward, new projects are coming, new CDMO will come, which will be also helping us to have a better margin in our profile. So definitely it will go to the near level of the our historical margin.
And just to add on this, it's not that far also. It is definitely achievable in short time also, because as we deliver in Q4 FY24, when the volume was, when the sales was more than 225 crores, we have delivered 19% EBITDA at a gross margin of 40 only. So today we are at a gross margin of 42, and with operational efficiency and a large quantity of CDMO business, so more than 25% EBITDA level is definitely doable in this this financial year on also, hopefully in Q3 and Q4.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Agrawal from Sage One Investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Several of my questions have been answered, so I'll just stick to a couple of more. One is, currently, if we look at the overall capacity that we have, all three units put together, and just taking the liberty to add Ankleshwar also. So I think we will be overall at around, if we take full Ankleshwar, then we will, the number would be somewhere around 12,000 tons, right?
Yeah, in quantity, yes, but in now in volume wise, we are now somewhere around 1,100 KL. So right now in the volume, because we have in Ankleshwar, we will do more high value product at a low volume.
Right. So my question is, on Ankleshwar alone, if we leave aside say Sachin and Jabaria for the time being, on Ankleshwar alone, what kind of asset turns are we envisaging?
So asset turn for Ankleshwar unit definitely will be more than three times. But because of we have some good CDMO contract already in place, it can go more than four times also.
Okay, so given the capex of around 300 crores in Ankleshwar, which is a revised number, so we can say around 1200 crores plus kind of a top line at full utilization of all the lines in Ankleshwar. Will that be a fair assumption?
Yes, at 100% we can calculate like this.
Okay, and is there any timeline that again that you think this could be achievable, given the visibility that you have pertain, given current order book as well as the discussions which are ongoing for Ankleshwar?
So you have to understand that at present we are only calculating our revenue based on the unit block one of the Ankleshwar facility. Block two and block three are yet to get commissioned, which is expected in the Q2 FY25. So utilization, expected peak utilization for those two blocks are still very premature to propagate in the market as of now.
Understood. But typically, please help me understand this better. So generally in CDMO, how it works is that when you have, say, the units or lines in place, then you already start also talking to clients and probably blocking individual lines within the overall block for individual clients, right? So there could be dedicated lines. So here in Ankleshwar, I think the first one is already done with. But for two and three, is there a visibility in place, or do we have some firm contracts, or are we in early stages of discussion?
I already announced that in my last answer to someone else that we are in on a very final stage of signing some contract with one of our reputed buyer in Europe. So, but it is not we will not be able to say right now about our planning, considering the confidentiality of the nature of the business.
Understood. Understood. And X of Ankleshwar, if I now will go back to your existing Sachin and Jhagadia unit, the current utilization there would be in what range?
It will be around 55%. 50 to 55% between
at Jhagadia and more than 70% at Sachin.
Okay, so what kind of optimum utilization can we achieve in these?
We can go up to 85% maximum.
In both locations, are you suggesting?
Yeah, we have a fungible facility everywhere, so it can be multi-purpose plant. It's not a dedicated plant. So it can be go up to 85%. In dedicated plant, you can go up to 100% if it is a continuous one product. But in multiple fungible plant, you can go up to 85%.
Okay. Okay. So given, if I take last year's full number, basically just trying to draw an estimate of the overall all three facilities put together, if we are at optimum utilization, then what kind of growth up to what level can this capture? So last year when we closed at closer to 725 kind of top line, with Sachin and Jhagadia operating further more at a higher utilization, then probably 900 to 1000 crores for that, and then another 1200 here, so maybe 2000 to at a broader range, maybe 2300 to 2500 level at a broader range is what we can achieve with all of these three put together. Will that be a fair number to estimate?
I cannot comment on that. You can calculate on that.
Sure, sure, sure. And what is your, well, I totally understand that there is a timeline and I mean there are confidentiality with respect to the order discussions that you cannot disclose. But at an overall level, at a company strategy level, what is your thought process or strategy pertaining to utilization of all of these? I think would a broader three year time frame be good enough to assume a full utilization or an optimal closer to optimal utilization of all of these three, or could it take longer?
See, all depends on product mix, basket, everything. We want to reach to 85% in 1 year, but this is all not possible, right?
Yeah.
It's all basket changing, and also we are continuously working on our process improvement. So we are changing a lot of batch process into continuous. So once we are like in Surat, Unit 1, where we reached to 75-78% utilization, and then we improved process and then we reduced to 70% by putting some reactions into continuous flow reactor. So this is a continuous process, and it cannot be stopped. So that is how it's not defined that in 2 years time you will reach to 85% or something like that. But main purpose is to make high value product rather than making a commodity product in a pharma, and making better utilizations and better revenue and asset turn. This is the main objective of Omni Organics.
Sure, sure. And in terms of product mix, just one last question, this would be, in terms of product mix, where are we in deciding by next year end? So by FY26, given that the formula contract will be, we will have one full year of number there. So overall, CDMO versus commodity, specialized, all put together, what kind of product mix can we look at by end of next year, which is FY26?
But today, I can say that we are at around 50% originator, 50% generic in pharma, whereas 80-20% in pharma and commodity. In the future, I can't disclose exact number, but that definitely originator business will be higher, beyond above 50%.
Understood. Okay, that is very, very helpful. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, but due to some confidentiality and avoiding some more competition, we are very restricted in some answers.
No, that's completely understandable. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jason from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for taking my question. Sir, just wanted to, sir, just some more clarity on this capacity utilization, but I know there was a detailed question asked before. So last quarter, sir, you had said that Sachin was at 72% capacity utilization, okay? And Unit 3, which is Jhagadia, was under 50%. That is for the specialty chemicals and electrolyte additives, right? So now also the capacity utilization more or less remains the same, right, sir, at Sachin and Jhagadia?
Yeah. So in Sachin, we reduced 2%, whereas in Jhagadia, we increased 5%. So it's all a bit depends on product mix. It may vary between plus or minus. And then because of the product mix changes also, the final value of the product is also changing. So this is how it and then also in Jhagadia as well as in Sachin, we introduced some new flow chemistry equipment, which help us to also optimize the capacity in little bit on our utilization side.
Sure. And sir, this electrolyte additives, and this is going to be housed in Jhagadia, is that right?
Yes. Yes, 100% in Jhagadia.
100% in Jhagadia, so with the spec chem business. Okay. And sir, just wanted to understand, so this Ankleshwar unit, you know, again, there's no question there. Now, what I understand is, there are three blocks, and out of that, one block has been particularly dedicated to Fermion. So just on a percentage basis, 33% is active and 67%, you are still looking to basically to employ for future opportunities. Is that understanding correct?
Yes.
Yes, yes. So 67% still is to be utilized for further upcoming opportunities. It could be from any client whom you are talking to.
Yes.
Right. And this CapEx, complete CapEx is 300 crore for Ankleshwar, right? So once everything starts only, then you can look at it from a 3x, 4x kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Right. Okay, just wanted that understanding, so that's good, sir. Sir, also wanted to understand, again, now, on an EBITDA margin, you know, we had spoken about, you know, in terms of exports, sir, just wanted to know, you had resorted to this spot basis, you know, basically supplying to your customers. What is the update on that, sir, in terms of spot contracts because of competition, et cetera, coming in? So how is that going on?
So as we mentioned, during last call also, that to retain our volumes, we have to move slightly change our strategy. But now, as we emphasized during last quarter also, that in this quarter, the pricing would stabilize and margin will improve. So slowly, slowly, as is evidenced in our margin, also 200 basis point margins and improved, that slowly, slowly we are getting back to our normal situation. So this is how it is been in Q1, and going forward, it will be the normal situation for expected for Q2 and Q3, Q4 as well.
Sure. Sure, sir. Sir, so that continues, and I understand prices are under pressure. So, sir, also in terms of EBITDA margins, sir, how do you look at it from, sort of some guidance would you want to give? Of course, I know the scenario is pretty dynamic, but margins have shrunk from those 20%, 21%. So any guidance you would want to give for the years, upcoming years, 2025, 2026?
So as I mentioned, we have already demonstrated around 19% EBITDA margin in Q4 FY 2024, wherein the revenue was at 224 crore. So at similar kind of revenue, the revenue top line figures, we will achieve those additional 200 basis point operational leverage. Apart from that, we already improved the 200 basis point in terms of gross margin, so that add up will definitely reach us more than 20% mark in this financial year only, hopefully we will achieve in Q3 and Q4. And going forward with additional CDMO businesses coming in our product portfolio, those margins are expected to more than that level also. That is what we are planning in FY 2026.
Sure, sir. And sir, also, I just wanted to know, I mean, you just said that 50% of your business is from generic and 50% innovative driven. And of course, as a company would like to move higher up the value chain for CDMO to innovative business. So just wanted to know certain steps which you are taking as a company to move up the value chain. If you could, just give us a broad color on what we are doing to move higher up the value chain, higher up the margin chain as well.
This is a long-term process, and we established this since several years, and because of that, only now the qualification from regulatory authority is also one of the crucial part of this kind of new CDMO for the higher value chain.
So now we are FDA, now we are PMDA, so that help us to go in a higher chain against the other competitor also now. So this is a long term, and we are slowly marching in the our strategy.
Sure. Sure, sir. And just lastly, just want to ask you, CapEx guidance, sir, still stays at around 2.5 billion for each of the years. That's what roughly you had guided last year. So any changes to that?
So we have said around 250 crore capex for this financial year FY25, and that remains intact, right?
Sure. Those were all my questions. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhara from ValueQuest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I had few questions. First one on the segmental margins, if you can provide. The margins for advanced intermediate and specialty chemicals.
So margin for intermediate is at 17.1% and specialty at 15.44%.
Thank you, sir. And my next question would be, as you mentioned that our depreciation cost during the quarter was higher. How much of the capitalization have we done for Ankleshwar?
That is for one-third capacity for one block.
So the amount that we have capitalized on the balance sheet?
That is around 110 crore. So actually it was capitalized towards the end of quarter Q4 FY24. But it was for a very limited time during that quarter. But a full quarter impact was seen in Q1 FY25. So that's the reason you see a higher depreciation figure.
But the amount is 110 crores.
Right. Yes.
And how much CWIP would we have on our balance sheet?
Around 125 crore.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's it for my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I had a question on segmental margins, which you just answered. My second question is about the apixaban opportunity. By when do you think this will play out completely, as in across all markets? When would peak sales for this product be?
FY26.
And rivaroxaban also similar time frame, or would that be?
Yeah. It will be in FY26 as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Rikin Shah from The Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions again. So for apixaban, I just wanted to understand that the patent expires in most geographies at the end of CY26. And generally, whenever a drug goes off patent, there's almost 90% erosion in the finished drug pricing. So in light of, you know, what has happened in the past for most key drugs, should we sort of expect erosion at an intermediate level as well? And, you know, have you taken account of these things?
Yes, definitely. This is part of our business policy, and we develop all the intermediate record considering this kind of launching price pressure, and we are very well prepared for this.
Okay. And my second question is for a follow-up on the earlier questions for Baba. So you mentioned that this is a very strenuous process in this business to get into the system. And we are probably in sort of a process where we are working with Japanese and Korean clients to get into their system. So how long would this process be? Like a ballpark figure for anyone else in this business trying to get into, you know, their system.
So we are working with some CDMO, semiconductor segment in Japan and Korea.
big agglomerate in the world, and we are working with them for the new applications and new opportunity with them. So it's a brand new product with a brand new application, but that product already developed at Baba Fine Chem. The chemistry was already developed at Baba Fine Chem, and that chemistry we are promoting with an application in different area.
Right, but like in timeline terms, like how long would the approval take?
See, approval is already in process. It may take 1 year, it may take half year also, and it may take 2 years also. Depends on the final application of that final product application and approval from the customer. But it is not that like in generic chemical that you just approve the sample and start business.
Right. Got it. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you to the JM Financial team for hosting our conference call. We appreciate everyone's questions and hope we have addressed most of your queries. If we missed any of your questions, please reach out to our investor relations team and we will get back to you promptly. Thank you very much and good evening, everyone.
On behalf of JM Financials, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thanks.